Good day to you. This is Greg Proctor of Gap Ministries. We're gathered here today to help fill in the gap, the void that's missed in our lives that only God's Word can fill in. Well, praise the Lord. I'm so pleased to be together with you today through this ministry of tape, of CD, of radio, of internet. What a privilege, what an honor it is for you and I to be able to come together and to study your Father's Word. We're going to look at a study today that I simply want to entitle, Your Speech, Springing Board or Stumbling Block? Your Speech, Springing Board or Stumbling Block? You see, you and I, by the very words of our mouth, we can cause our lives to spring forward in great power, or we can hinder our very own lives. We can stumble ourselves by saying things that's contrary to the truth of the Word of God, contrary to the reality of what Jesus Christ has done in and for us at Calvary, by speaking what the moment feels like, what the situation looks like, what the enemy is trying to paint a picture thereof. Now, I want to make this statement to kind of get our attention as we dive into the Word of God. You can agree with this or disagree with this, but I want you to think about it. With all my heart, I believe this. Do you know that you will never go farther in your walk with the Lord than your speech takes you? I'll never go farther in my walk with the Lord than my speech takes me, than I'll allow my speech to take me. Let me put it that way. As we've been talking these past few weeks, looking in and out of the Word of God, talking about how we're saved because we spoke, because we confessed Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. That's how salvation came into our hearts, souls, and lives. Well, the truth is, until we let the Lord have our tongue, as we did in that moment of time, but until we continually allow the Lord to have our tongue, our tongue will control our destiny instead of us controlling our tongue through the Lord. We can see that in and from the great epistle of James. And if you would, that's where I want to turn to for our text. Turn with me to the epistle of James, James chapter 3. Very familiar verses of Scripture. Very powerful verses of Scripture. Let's start reading in the second verse in the third chapter of this great epistle of James. James 3 and 2, the Word of God says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect, a complete man, a complete in labor, growth, and character. The same is a perfect man and is able to bridle the whole body." Now think about that. Right here, the Word tells you and I that if we're able to control our tongue, then we can control our whole body. You see, the Word of God tells us in the 26th verse of James chapter 1 that if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not, controls not his own tongue, he deceiveth his own heart, and this man's religion is in vain. So it's imperative that you and I understand that to have what we're destined to have, to come to the full growth in the destiny of Jesus Christ, and grow up in Him, being born as babes, but then growing up in the truth of the Word of God, we've got to learn how to control our own tongue. Because He said, if not, our tongue would be offending. "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not," in what? In word. In something said, including the thought behind it, logos in the Greek. He said that if we offend not, that we are a perfect, we're a complete child of God, if you would. Now, this offend, it's a Greek word that means to trip. Figuratively, it means to err, to sin, to fail of salvation, to fall, to stumble. You see, the enemy is going to continually try to get you and I to stumble in our words, in our speech, in the what we're saying and the thought thereof behind it, if you would. Now, I know and I understand that I've made great strides, but also, as in trying to prepare this message and bring this forth, I've been under acute attack, if you would, from the enemy. And yes, I have said some things that is contrary to the truth of the Word of God, because I just got aggravated in the flesh. And yes, I yielded my tongue to what I was feeling, to that circumstance, to that situation. And so that becomes a stumbling block instead of a springboard. You and I, we got to be very cautious, and we got to recognize and realize what the enemy is doing in our life. Third verse, James 3:3. The Word of God says, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their," what? "Their whole body." That bit in their mouth. Now consider the size of their mouth, their tongue, with that bit resting on that tongue, and then the size of the rest of the body. What a little member, yet that whole horse is turned by that little bitty pull on that tongue. Think about it. He says in verse number 4, another analogy to cause us to be able to have a visual aid of what he's talking about. He says, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." In other words, whenever the captain of the ship decides to turn that huge vessel, in comparison to what turns the vessel, it's a very small helm or a small rudder. But that rudder turns the entire ship. And so the visual aid that you and I need to get into this very truth in this third chapter of James is that our tongue is very small, but very powerful. Meaning what? Meaning your speech, my speech, is going to turn our entire lives. Look what he says in verse number 5. He says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." You see, the enemy wants to come and cause you and I to speak opposite of what the Word says, of what the truth is, because he wants you and I, as in Hebrews 11:3, the Word of God tells us that God framed this world by His words. And He called those things that be not as though they were. He called the things out of the spiritual realm into the natural realm by His speech. And you and I, we are created in the image of God, the likeness after His likeness, and we have the same ability, the same power to be able to speak, and it turns your whole world. It turns my whole world. Think about it. The Word of God tells us in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, that you and I, we can take a conversation. We can put a kind word in a hostile situation, and we can turn that for good. Or on the contrary, we can take and have a word of wrath, and we can turn that situation that is already in a hostile moment, in a heated moment, if you would, we can turn that even more away from the will and the plan of God and into the working of the flesh, the working of the enemy. James 3:6, he said, "And the tongue is a fire." In other words, he says, "Behold how great a matter a little of fire kindleth." In other words, one match thrown out in the hot, dry summertime. Think about what a fire that makes, and the things that are consumed in its path. What he's saying is the very same thing happens with your speech, with my speech. "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members," we're in the many-membered body, Christ being the head thereof, "and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." Verse 7, "For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of" what? "Of mankind." Verse number 8, "But the tongue," your speech, my speech. But the tongue can no man, hallow in your mind's eye, underline it in your Bible, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, if you and I hear, if we hear this word of God, if we take heed to this instruction, we see that you and I, on our own, we cannot change our speech. We cannot tame our tongue. We cannot bring our tongue under subjection. And so what we've got to do, we've got to be in a place to recognize and realize that we can't do it on our own. But we serve a God in heaven who has the anointing power of the Spirit of God, that Spirit that Jesus said would come and would abide with you, with me, the believer, forever, and that Spirit would guide us into all truth. So when you and I are in a place where we're being quick to wrath, the Spirit of God will come up inside of us and cause us to slow down, and we can hear what thus saith the Lord. We can hear about the truth of the situation, and where no man, no human, can tame that tongue. We have the very promise that God will always be with us, and Jesus Christ is the example, and we can follow His example, and we can gain, instead of a stumbling block in our life, a springboard by our speech. Amen. He said in verse number 9, therewith bless we, in other words, the tongue, the speech, therewith bless we God, even the Father, therewith, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. This is so true. You know, how can we love a God in heaven whom we haven't seen when we can't love our brother? And so he tells us, he's just being very blunt, painting the reality of the hardship of the tongue unless we allow it to come under the authority of the Spirit of God. Verse number 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brother, these things ought not be so. In other words, the instruction is here, you and I, we need to recognize and realize what he says in verse number 11. Doeth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? In other words, I love this because if you've got a well that's putting out wonderfully cold, sweet, living water, and you drink that, oh, it's so good. But at the same time, it's impossible for that well to put out poison water or to put out iron water or whatever, you know, you label some mineral or some substance thereof. It can't put out both. Because why? Because there's only one source. What's your source? What's my source? Our source now is not human reasoning, human strength, human understanding. We've been bought with the price, the precious blood of the Lamb. We're infilled by the Spirit of God. Our spirit being made brand new. The Word of God says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Our spirit made brand new. Home, if you would, a home, a house for the temple of the Holy Spirit, a holding place. And so we can't do it on our own, but we need to what? We need to renew our mind to this truth, because you have the same soul, you have the same mind, you have the same flesh body, meaning you're going to have the same pull on you, the same tendencies as before salvation. I deal with the very same things, but our spirit man being brand new, born again, born from above, being alive unto God now, we can draw strength and allow our speech to be a springboard, not a stumbling block. He says, verse number 12, can fig trees, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So what I want to pull out of these verses of Scripture that we just read is just, let's concentrate on verse number 8, that no man can tame the tongue. No human being can tame their tongue. And we look at these other verses of Scripture in context with that. We see that you and I, we're going to drive our lives by our tongue. Say it with me. I've got a steering wheel in my mouth. I've got a steering wheel in my mouth. This is the truth. You and I, we're going to turn the direction of our life in and of according to our words, by our speech. Are we going to speak what God says, or are we going to say what the flesh says, what the enemy is sitting on your shoulder telling you about the circumstance, about the storm, about the trial, about the situation that you're in. So if no man can tame the tongue, then you and I, we've got to turn to the Lord God Almighty. We've got to let Him help us do what we can't possibly do on our own. Now this is important. I've come to realize and understand that most of my problems has come because I've took the steering wheel in my mouth and I've turned the way the enemy has spoke to me when he's brought discouragement, when he's covered up the light of the Word, when he's took hope away from me, and I've accepted and received what he said, and then I spoke thereof according to what he has said to me. Now this is important because I can make my life better or I can make my life worse. Now let's think about some things. Let's food for thought, if you would. The average person speaks about 30,000 words per day. That's 10,950,000 words per year. Now, let's say that you live to be 80 years of age. That means that you would spend 1/5 or 16 years of your life talking. I'm going to spend 16 years of my life talking. Now, that's a long period of time. Now, in that same 80-year time period, the average person sleeps 26.6 years out of those 80 sleeping. But my wife tells me that sometimes I even talk in my sleep. So, you see what I'm saying? Our speech is going to be a domineering or a majority part of your life, of my life. And Jesus, He told us as He was teaching in Matthew chapter 12, what is it down about verse number 34? He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance. So what you have in abundance, what I have in abundance, is what's going to come out through this tongue, through this stern wheel of life, through our speech. So for the Lord to help us tame our tongues, then you and I, we've got to take in His Word. We've got to recognize and realize, understand the power of our speech. In the Old Testament, in the great book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 21, the Word of God says, death and life. Now, most people quote this verse in reverse. But the Word says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, of speech. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What am I speaking? Am I speaking death talk? Or am I speaking life? You see, Hebrews 2:14 tells me that Satan is death. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? The life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Jesus is life. So if I'm going to tame my tongue, I've got to change my source. I've got to recognize and realize salt water and sweet water can't come out of the same vessel, out of the same source, the same well. So I've got to, in abundance, put the Word of God. Jesus is that Word, and I've got to speak what He says. And if I do that, I'm going to be speaking life, and I'm going to eat the fruit of life rather than the fruit of death. I'm going to have a springboard be moving up in my life rather than keep coming into stumbling blocks and being side swiped by different things and ultimately being slowed down and maybe even stopped. So let's look at three things in this particular message I believe that'll help us so much and keep us from being hurt, if you would, by the enemy. Number one, speaking and receiving. Number two, God's example and our response to His example. And number three, let's look at learning to tame the tongue. Now, if you would, go with me to the great gospel of Mark. Very wonderful teaching here that will help us so much on speaking and receiving, about the power of your speech, the power of my speech, and then receiving fruit, eating the fruit of what we said. Amen? There being a harvest. There is a harvest on everything you say. There is a harvest on everything I say. Mark chapter 5, if you would, let's start reading in verse number 25. Mark chapter 5, the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, the number 12 in the Bible numbers, biblical numerics, means what? It means governmental perfection. She has been in this situation for 12 years, governed by death. Death is slowly taking life out of this certain woman, out of this lady. And she has done all she can do. Look what the word tells us in verse 26. And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had. Highlight that in your mind's eye, underline it. Had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. This lady, she'd done everything she could possibly do. She went to every physician she could go to, every new wind of doctrine, every quick cure, all of these things that you see happening even in the world today, she had tried them all. And none of them helped her because she was under the governmental control of death. Now, we don't have a record of what she said before, but we're going to have a record of what she started to say after she heard about Jesus. Now, remember, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and what? The life. John 14 and 6. When she heard about Jesus, she changed her speech from what? From death being in the power of her tongue to life being in the power of her tongue. And this is what you and I have got to do. And the fruit that she had been eating, which was of death, was all of a sudden, it was changed to life. Mark chapter 5, verse number 27. And when she had heard, now highlight it in your mind's eye, underline it in your Bible. And when she had heard of another doctor, no. When she had heard of a special cure, no. When she had heard of another medicine, no. When she had heard of Jesus, Oh, glory be to God. Somebody took the time to tell her about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, about the Lamb of God. When she had heard of Jesus and came in the press behind. Now, I want you to think about this. Let's stop right there just for a second. Now, she was in a situation, in a circumstance where she was unclean, and in this day and time, she was ostracized. She was separated. She had to stay away from other people, and when they got in close proximity to her, she had to yell unclean because of this bloody flux, this situation. But she heard about Jesus. She heard that he had life. And she heard that he was someone who had love. And so she was able to come in behind. And look what the word says. Let's just reread the whole verse 27. And she had heard of Jesus, and she came in the press behind, and she touched his garment. She touched Jesus. Now this was against every Old Testament law that there is. But she touched Jesus. She touched his garment. She touched the wings of healing, if you would. Now, what happened? She had heard enough about Jesus and about his love, his compassion, his healing power, that she knew that if she touched Jesus, everything would be different. Verse 28, for she said, what did she do? She heard, she believed in the heart, got it in abundance, and then she changed her speech, no doubt, and she started talking life. And that brought fruit of life into her life. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Oh, glory. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can touch the wings of healing, if I can come under the shadow of the Most High, I shall be whole. She said this. She spoke it forth. She spoke life. And when she done that, she got fruit. She got a harvest, if you would. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. and she felt in her body that she was healed, oh glory, that she was healed of that plague. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, this is dunamis from the Greek tongue, and dunamis meaning power. This is the same word, if you was to look in Acts 10:38, where the Word of God says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Who was oppressing this lady? The devil. The devil. Death. Death. But all these throngs of people, there was a great press there, and no doubt many people was touching Jesus, but she touched Jesus by faith. She reached out and she touched him, and she had spoke this forth. And because she had spoke life, she received life. And Jesus, immediately knowing that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press where she was at and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Oh glory, who touched my clothes? You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tells you and I to touch not the unclean thing. Attach ourselves not to the world, but attach ourselves to Jesus. Amen. And his disciples, verse 31, said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The woman told him, told Jesus, that she had made a statement. And the statement was that if I touch you, if I touch life, I shall be whole. Oh, glory. Verse 34. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith," highlight in your mind's eye, underline it in your Bible, "thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Oh, glory. Now, that's powerful. See, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, that when two agree as touching, what? As touching any one thing, it shall be done. Jesus agreed with her profession. She felt that plague dry up by her faith, but he come in agreement with her. Hallelujah. And she got exactly what she said. See, the Word of God in Mark chapter 11, out of the words of Jesus, Jesus says in verse 22, "Have faith in God, have faith of God," the God kind of faith, if you would. And he says in verse 23, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever what he saith." Life and death. Springboard or stumbling block? What are you seeing? What am I seeing? What am I saying? See, she saw Jesus, and then she talked life, and she got the fruit of life. Am I seeing Jesus, or am I seeing the circumstance or situation that the enemy's trying to paint before my eyes? What am I hearing? She heard, then she spoke, and just exactly what she had transmitted is what she received. Think about it. There's a feature that we have, being a truck driver, we have something called talkback on the Citizen Band radios. And what this enables you to do is to be able to hear yourself as you're talking, what you sound like going out over the air when you transmit on that Citizen Band radio. And it's called talkback. And so you hear just exactly what you're saying. You hear exactly what you sound like. And that's what we've got to get in a habit of. We need talk back in this Christian life of what? Of being able to hear what we're saying. And if our speech isn't in and of what God says, what life, then we've got to recognize and realize there's only one other source, and that source is death. And so we need to speak life, not death. Paul told the church there at Galatia, in the great book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 6, he says, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. If he sows unto the flesh, he shall reap of the corruption of the flesh. But if he sows unto the Spirit, he shall reap of the Spirit. What are we saying? What are we speaking? God's not mocked. We've got to speak, and then we've got to recognize and realize if we're speaking death, we're going to receive death. But if we're speaking life, we're going to speak and receive. We're going to receive life. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, let's move to number two. God's example, and then our response to that example, if you would. Turn with me to the Old Testament, the great book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 50, very powerful verse here in Psalms chapter 50, verse number 1. Lay your eyes on this verse with me, and let's allow the word just to speak to us. It says, the mighty God, even the Lord, hallelujah, hath what? Hath spoken. Highlight in your mind's eye, underline it in the Bible, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Now, this is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph in the Hebrew meaning collector or assembler of the people. In other words, you and I, we need to come together and we need to hear this psalm. We need to put this psalm to practice. We need to look and see what God done. Now, the word said here that the mighty God, that he spoke, dabar, in the Hebrew, it means to arrange, figuratively to arrange with words. It means to speak, to subdue, to command, and declare. Hallelujah. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken. This is what he done. He spoke. And what did he do? He called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. He called the earth. Kara in the Hebrew, it means to call out. It means to address by name. In other words, our God, he spoke and he called the earth by name. Our God, he spoke and he called the sun by name. Meaning what? Meaning he called them forth, made them what they are. He set the boundaries thereof. Even as you look at the recreation there in the book of Genesis, as the Spirit of God is hovering upon the face of the deep. And then God comes out and he says, let there be light. Then the Spirit of God moves and there is light. And the light is still being created today. But here we have an example of God speaking and amazing things happening. Life happening because God is life. Now, here's a food for thought. Let's think about this. The temperature at the sun's surface is 10,000 degrees. Now, just on the surface, much hotter the deeper you get into the depth thereof. But 10,000 degrees at the sun's surface. Yet, we have seasons here on earth. And we're at just exactly the right distance from the sun. In other words, the earth, 92,960,000 miles from the sun. Just right. If we were further away from the sun, we'd freeze to death. If we were closer to the sun, we would burn up. And yet, the earth is tilted where we have seasons. And the earth is spinning right at the right speed. At the equator, the earth is spinning approximately 1,040 miles per hour. Now, God spoke all of this into existence. That's what the Word's telling us here. The mighty God, our God, the one who loved us enough, not willing that for us to perish, but send Jesus to redeem us with His precious blood. This is the mighty God we're talking about. The God of love. And he spoke and he called earth and he called the sun. He called everything into existence with his words, by his words. That's the kind of God that you and I are serving. That's the kind of God who made us. That's the kind of God who wanted to fellowship with you and I every minute of the day. Oh, glory. Let that be a comfort to you. He done that all of these years ago. And I don't want to get into debate with people about the age of the earth and all of that, because why talk about things that just gender strife and needless questions? Paul addressed that to Timothy. What we need to concentrate on is that God done it. And everything is just the way God spoke it forth. This world is being held together. This universe, these galaxies are being held together by the power of His words. So, if you and I can wrap our eyes around the fact and the truth that the sun's going to come up in the morning, and it's going to come up in the east, and it's going to go down in the west, and that as long as God has, until that final trump blows, we're going to have seed time and harvest. Everything God spoke, you can count on. You can bank on it. That's God's example. We need to have a response to that. We need to take that and put it into practice in our own life. Now let's read the last verse of this great 50th Psalm. And we've seen God's example. And let's see what our response is supposed to be thereof. Psalms 50, verse number 23. The Word of God says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." Whoso. Say, "I'm a whoso." Yeah, that's me. That's me. I'm a whoso. Hallelujah. "Whoso offereth praise." Offereth praise. Zabak in the Hebrew, and it means to slaughter an animal, usually in sacrifice. What are we talking about? You and I, we're a whosoever. We're a person, a God-loving, born from above, born again, recreated in Christ Jesus, individual that offers praise. Tada, meaning the extension of the hand, showing adoration. A confession, in other words, of sacrifice, of praise. Now, God has gave you and I this ability to speak and to praise Him. But at the same time, the enemy, he wants your praise. And what we don't realize, what we don't understand, when we get in situations and storms and trials and struggles and all of these things, when the enemy sits on your shoulder, when he sits on my shoulder, and we talk what he says, then we're really praising Him. And He's took our speech, our mind, our heart, out of the abundance of the heart, remember, took it away from God and put it on things that has fruit of death. It's going to be a sacrifice. It's going to be a sacrifice for you. It's going to be a sacrifice for me sometimes to lift our hands and to praise God. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be hardships in this world. If anybody told you everything was going to be fine and dandy in this Christian walk after you come to Jesus Christ, they were lying to you. The Word of God says that if you live godly in this present world, that you're going to what? You're going to suffer persecution. I'm going to suffer persecution. There's an enemy out there who's trying to bring death, but we have a Jesus Christ who is our shepherd who wants us to have abundant life. But let's see what he said. He said that you and I, we have to offer praise that glorifies God. And how do we do that? Then he tells us the answer to that question by ordering our conversation. He said, "And to him that ordereth his conversation." To him that ordereth his conversation. This conversation is a Hebrew word that means derech. It's a road is trodden, a course of life, a mode of action. But once again, we have a second witness to what we were looking at in the Epistle of James chapter 3. Your conversation is the steering wheel of your life. My conversation is the steering wheel of my life. God said that we're going to have a sacrifice of praise. It wasn't going to be easy. But when we done that, we would be ordering our conversation right. We would be going down the right path. And he said when we would do that, that he would show us the salvation of God. There would be a revelation. He would cause us to see the salvation of God. Yahshua. Meaning what? Meaning what? Liberty.
deliverance, prosperity, safety. These are fruit of life. When you speak life, you get to eat the fruit thereof. You get to eat the fruit of life. In other words, if you're in a situation, if I'm in a situation, and I can't talk for you, but I can talk for me, I know how the method of operation, how the enemy worked in my life. He would set me up in a strong situation where my emotions would be raging, and I would be weak in spirit, and the flesh would start rising up. And as the flesh would rise up, then I would say things that I didn't want to say. And as I would say things that I didn't want to say, then he would twist just a little harder, and I would say more of what the enemy would want me to say. And instead of having liberty, deliverance, prosperity, safety, I found myself more bound up. I found myself in a place of danger, because I'd come out of the shelter of the shadow of the Almighty, and I was in a place where the enemy was attacking stronger and stronger, because I was talking his words, and I was eating what I was, the fruit of what I was saying that he was feeding me. And see, it was leading me down a slippery slope. It was taking me farther and farther away from the will of God, away from the plan of God, and it was causing me to be in a place where the enemy could just pretty much do what he wanted to do within the boundaries of where I got away from the protection of God. You understand? God said, I want to show you my salvation. But the only way I can show you my salvation, the only way you can eat the fruit of liberty and deliverance and prosperity and safety, is that you have to order your conversation. Your life is got to be, by your speech, turned towards me. Not towards the circumstance, not toward the situation, not toward the struggle. And it was going to be a sacrifice. It wasn't going to be easy. It's going to be something that's going to be hard. Because the enemy is going to work on you in the way that he knows that you're the weakest. The way that I'm the weakest. I'm speaking this plainly, bluntly, completely open and honest with you. I've got to depend upon the Lord, or I'll say the wrong thing. I've got to have the Lord's strength. I've got to have His guidance. I've got to have the Holy Spirit to bring the truth to me, or I will not see what God has for me. In other words, the situation that I'm in, God wants to save me out of that trial. He wants to save me out of that struggle. He wants to save me out of that storm of life. He wants to save me out of that temptation. But if I don't say what God says, then I'm talking the death, and then I'm eating the fruit thereof, and it's being compounded into my life, and I'm becoming more and more bound up. But I'm going to look at God's example. I'm going to see how God spoke, and He created something that was beautiful and wonderful and lasting. And if I'll keep saying what God says, no matter what it feels like to the flesh, I'll have something that's beautiful, productive, and that's lasting. Oh, glory. Let's think of some Bible examples in these situations. Go with me to the book of Joshua. And let's look at something I think that'll help us. Let's go to Joshua chapter 15. And let's be built up by the Word of God in exactly what we're talking about. Joshua chapter 15. Let's look at the life of Caleb. In Joshua chapter 15, verse number 6, we have Caleb and Joshua in a situation, Joshua 14. Joshua 14, verse number 6. And where no matter what's happened in your life, you may be in a situation in your life where you've been hindered by people around you, and you haven't got to go and do what you'd like to do, what you knew God wanted you to do. You hadn't been, it didn't seem like you've been to be as productive as you'd like to have been, or have got and moved at the rate of speed, progressed at the speed that you'd like. But if you keep holding on and talking what God says, no matter how much time passes, that you're going to eat the fruit of what you said. And if you've said God talk, if you have spoken life, you're going to eat the fruit thereof. And that's your hope. That's my hope. That's our confidence. Amen. Joshua chapter 14. Now let's be built up and let's be encouraged by this, because this is very powerful. The Word of God says in verse number 6, the children of Israel, children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. Oh, think about it. As it was in my heart. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, this is what you and I have got to keep in our hearts, souls, and lives, in abundance, what God says. Verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. It was a sacrifice. He had to make a stand. And he had to sacrifice what other people thought about him, what they said about him, how they acted around him, because he wanted God to order his conversation. Because he knew if God ordered his conversation, he would see the salvation of the Lord. He would eat the fruit thereof. Verse 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy foot hath trodden shall be thy inheritance. Oh, amen. In other words, every place that he stepped, that's yours, is what he told him. And thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Now think about that. 45 years later, that means we're looking at Caleb, and he's 85 years old. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. Verse 11, As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now you hear his speech? He's eating the fruit of life. He's being supernaturally sustained by what he says. He's seen God's example, and he has spoke the life of the words of God, and he's eating the fruit thereof. Verse 12. He says, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest that in that day how the Anakims were there, the giants were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord, what? As the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Oh, glory. Hebron, meaning alliance, if you would, seat of association, alliance, fully translated. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron was called Kirjathaarba, meaning the city of Araba, or meaning the city of the four giants, which Araba or Arba, the great man among the Anakims, meaning to choke. And the land had rest from war. Why? Because he believed that God had that land for him, and he wasn't going to let time take it away from him. And time stood still. He said, I'm just as strong now at 85. I'm just as well able now at 85 as I was at 40. Why? Because he's holding on to what God said. You've got to hold on. I've got to hold on to what God said. And God will, if we will do that, that brings God glory. And as we bring God glory in our conversation, when we order our conversation, then God shows us the salvation. Remember that Yeshua, whichever you wish to pronounce it, meaning liberty, deliverance, prosperity, safety. That's what God has for you. That's what God has for me. But we've got to say what God says. And then we eat the fruit thereof. Amen? Now that's a man example. Let's look at a male example. Let's look at a female example. Hurriedly, for sake of time, turn with me to the book of Judges, and let's look at Judges chapter 4, and let's look at Deborah. Let's look at Deborah. Judges chapter 4, verse number 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. Ehud meaning united. And when he died, there became separation because of sin. And the Lord sold them under the hand of Jabin, meaning intelligent, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazar. The captain of the host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Verse 4. And Deborah, meaning if you would, she was a prophetess, the wife of Lebadoth, meaning torch. She judged Israel at the time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah, high place, and Bethel, house of God, in the mount of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinadab, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward the Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and out of the children of Zebulun? And I will draw unto thee to the river of Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hand. In other words, she, by being a prophetess, she knew what God had spoken. And so she said to him what she knew that he had then heard from the Lord. Verse 8. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. Verse 9. Now we're talking about keeping our conversation ordered right, where we can see the salvation of the Lord. And she said, verse 9, and she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera under the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Now I want you to think about that, and that's exactly what happened. If you read, we won't take time to read it, but this fourth and fifth chapter, if you keep reading this, you see that she got exactly what she said. And she said that God was going to make this deliverance, this great deliverance, and that's exactly what He did. He made this great deliverance. You and I, we can hear from God, and even though it looks like we're outnumbered, looks like the odds are insurmountable, it looks like it's impossible. But remember, all things are possible to the person that believes. If you believe what God said, and you say what God said, you're going to eat the fruit thereof. It will not be a stumbling block, it'll be a springboard to the greatest time ever. But we've got to hurry. Number three, we've got to learn to tame the tongue. Learn to tame the tongue. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Job. And let's learn from Job, if you would. Job, we understand in and from the Word of God that he made a statement. He said, My greatest fear has come upon me. And that's exactly what happened. His greatest fear came upon him. And he done a lot of talking. He didn't order his conversation correctly. But after he went through some things, let's see what Job said, how to learn to tame the tongue. Job chapter 6, verse number 24. Job says, he makes this statement, Teach me, and I will hold my tongue. He says, Teach me, and I will hold my tongue. My question is, are you teachable? Am I teachable? If we will be teachable, we have a promise here. God wants to teach us how to hold our tongue. Teach me, yara. In the Hebrew, it means to flow as water, to rain down, to point as if by pointing a finger, to point like and shoot an arrow, if you would. In other words, all of those things, when you and I look out and we see it's raining, rain falling down, we know what's happening. We understand it completely. If somebody points to something, then you and I see what they're pointing at. We understand what's being said, what we're to look at, and what we're to do. We understand that when water flows, it flows in a way that it's designed to go. God has a designation. He has a way. Remember, Jesus is that way, for you to go, for me to go. And if we will allow Him to teach us, then we'll be able to hold our tongue. Teach me, and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. Job said, I want to know where I've strayed, where I've caused myself to be misled. Because that's exactly what happens. You and I, we cause ourselves to be misled. We cause ourselves to go in a way that we shouldn't go because of our words. Job's words opened up a door and took him to a place he didn't want to go. And so now he's making this statement. But look at the next statement, verse number 25. He says, how forcible. It means to press that is very bold. In other words, if you put something in a press, whatever you put in that press, it's a form, it's going to come out that way. How forcible are what? Are right words. Right words. But what doeth your arguing, reprove? If you and I argue with God, if we argue with the truth, if we argue with ourselves, if we argue with the devil, what are we going to have? We're going to have a mess. But if we'll speak the right words, those words can be forcible. And they can change your circumstance. They can change my circumstance. They can change every situation. They can be like what God did. God looked. Remember, as we were talking about in Genesis 1? And it was chaos. There was darkness. But His Spirit was on the face of the deep. And as His Spirit moved across the face of the deep, He spoke, let there be light. Everything in God said, and God said, look at it in your study time there in the book of Genesis. And God said, and God said, and what God said came to pass. What you say, what I say, will come to pass. So let's don't talk negative, let's talk positive. But you see, just because we get a revelation doesn't mean we're going to hold on to it. If we're not very careful, we'll miss out on what God says. We'll let it lay. We'll let it lay. And when that happens, then the enemy moves in once again like a flood. Turn with me, if you would, over to the next chapter. Job chapter 7, verse number 11. Job says and makes this statement, therefore, I will not. Now look what the word says. He says, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. This is what I was telling to you, trying to bear my heart with you. This is how the enemy gets me. You know, I make it good and then something happens and it just keeps growing and growing and growing, and I make that statement like Job. I ain't going to be quiet any longer. I'm not going to hold my tongue any longer. I'm going to give that person a piece of my mind. I'm going to just tell them exactly how I feel about this. Sound familiar? Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit, and I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Soul, your mind. You and I, we cannot talk out of our mind, because our mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the will of God. The plan of God never will be unless we what? We renew it. We renew it. That's why He tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, He tells you and I to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, but He tells us to renew our mind to find out what the perfect, acceptable will of God is. But if my mind is being controlled by bitterness, by the things on the outside, the external, rather than being renewed by the Spirit of God in my spirit talking word to me on the inside, then I'm going to what? I'm not going to have my conversation ordered aright, and I will not see the salvation of the Lord. I'm talking about how to have a victorious life, how to be springboarding forward rather than stumbling around in the dark, blind leading the blind, having to do the same thing over and over. We don't want any more of that. Amen. Now let's go to the book of Isaiah in closing. And let's look at a wonderful promise here that is of our Lord and Savior, but it's of you and I as well. In the book of Isaiah chapter 50, lay your eyes on these verses of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 4. The Word of God says, "The Lord God hath," past tense, "hath given me the tongue of the learned." Oh, glory. This learned means basically a disciple that is taught and used. Being able to be taught and then be used. Let's put it that way. Someone who is accustomed to instruction from the Hebrew. "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned." The what? The tongue. The tongue. Remember when we started out? The Word of God said, no man, James 3 and 8, no man can tame the tongue. But God wants to give you and I a tongue of the learned. A tongue of the learned. He wants you and I to be able to talk God talk and to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." Oh, glory. What a promise. That's why you're here. That you and I are here to speak God's words. God said, "I'm going to comfort you in all of your tribulations, that you may be a comfort therewith to someone else." In other words, I'm going to give you a word, and then you take that word, you eat the fruit thereof, and then you take and sow that into somebody else's life. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He awakeneth my ear to hear as the learned." Oh, what a promise. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He wants to wake us up. He wants to fill our heart in abundance with the Word of God. Verse 5, "The Lord God hath," once again, past tense, "hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." Oh, glory. The Lord hath opened, to open wide, to loosen. He's loosened my ear. God wants to cause you and I to be able to hear the truth in every situation. But we got to be willing. God said, "I give grace to who? To the humble. But I resist the proud." You see, my trouble is, when those situations come and my flesh starts getting in control, I want to be prideful. And I want to hold on and do what I want to do. I want to say what I want to say. I want to feel the way I want to feel. Well, my feelings are not the truth, because my feelings change continually. But the Word of God says, Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi chapter 3, God says, "I change not." So I need to go by God, by His Word, because it's the only stable thing that can change my life. God wants to give me a tongue of the learned, a tongue that can be tamed. He wants to give you a tongue of the learned, a tongue that can be tamed, where we can have a springboard with our speech rather than a stumbling block. Amen? Oh, glory. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank You for this Word. And I ask You right now, I know under the sound of my voice that there's many people who are going through many different trials and struggles and storms and situations. And I ask that by the Spirit of God that You sow this Word down deep in their heart and let faith rise. Faith that will enable them to see light. Your Word says in Psalms 119, verse 130, "The entrance of Thy Word gives light." Lord, let light come and let it break through the clouds of darkness. Let despair be brought into the feet of Jesus. Let hope rise and let the reality of every situation that people are in under the sound of my voice, let it come and let them hear a word by the Spirit of God. if they're in a place where they're being attacked in their body, when they're being attacked in their mind, when they're being attacked in their relationships or in their job or in their finances, Father God, by the Spirit of God, give them the tongue of the learned. Give them a word to say that they can eat the fruit of that's life and not death. And by the Spirit of God, help them, check them with your Spirit and give them the power to be able to hold that tongue and not say what they feel in the natural, what they feel in the storm, what they feel that the enemy is screaming at the top of his lungs in their ear about, Lord. Let it be. I ask these things believing that we receive in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Your victory is there. My victory is there. All we've got to do is say what God said. And you may be in a situation like Caleb where people have held you back. But it's not too late. Don't let your mind even go there as the devil tries to tell you that it's been too long, too much time has passed. No, you tell the devil, I am well able. My strength is not abated because my strength is in and of what God said. God said I was going to do this. God said I was going to have this job. God said I was going to have this marriage. God said I was going to have this relationship. God said I was going to have this ministry. God said I was going to have this ability to reach this person or this family or whatever it might be. And you keep saying what God says and you're going to eat the fruit thereof. You're going to eat life. Amen? Well, we're out of time, but if we've helped you remain God's Word to you, I ask you to write us. It'd be an encouragement to us. If you have any special needs you'd like for us to pray with you about, we would appreciate your prayer request. You can email them to us. The address is on this label, or you can post it on our website at www.gregproctor.net. We have many Bible studies, sermons available for download as well, free of charge on that website. If you need help getting the Bible, we would love to help you with that. If you don't have a home church and you're looking for one, we would love to help you find one in your area. If you live in our area, we invite you to come be with us here at the Gospel Lighthouse on Highway 164. We're close to where Polk County and Johnson County comes together in Bullfrog Valley. You'd be welcome. That's where the Word is taught. But the most important thing to remember, what you and I can't ever forget, remember, God's Word will change your life.